This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. Family. No matter what your relationship is with your family, if it's good, bad, or even non-existent, your family is part of what defines you. It's part of what makes you, you. For Becca Mancari, a queer person who grew up in a conservative Christian home, that family relationship has been a complicated thing to navigate. Coming up today, Becca, who uses they-them pronouns, joins me to talk about how that experience inspired much of the songwriting on their new album. The album, called Left Hand, includes collaborations with members of what you could call Becca's chosen family, like Brittany Howard, Julian Baker, Zach Farrow, and co-producer Juan Solorzano. But its title is also a nod to Becca's heritage and the Mancari family crest, in which a left hand holds a dagger aloft. Our conversation is coming up, along with live performances, beginning with the song Eternity. It's Becca Mancari, live for the World Cafe.
To
On World Cafe, that was Becca Mankari with Eternity. That's from Becca's new album, Left Hand. I'm Raina Duras, and Becca Mankari is my guest today. Welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thank you. It's so good to be here in real life.
So great to have you in real life. And we were talking about how last time we spoke, it was on Zoom.
Yeah.
And so this is so nice to actually see each other
in
reality. And the last time you were on the show was in 2020. It was right after you released your last album, The Greatest Part. I distinctly remember when you jumped on the Zoom, you had just come inside from digging a ditch.
Oh my God, that's right. I do remember that.
And yeah, you seem to be keeping really busy, even though you couldn't tour. But, you know, it's been 3 years. And even though we all found our coping strategies at the time, it wasn't easy for a lot of people. I know it wasn't easy for you. Looking back with hindsight now, how did not being able to tour affect you?
Oh God, that's why I was digging that ditch. I was so desperate for something to keep my mind off of the fact that I wasn't doing the thing that I feel like I've always been born to do. Like my truest self is when I'm on stage and performing in front of people. Like that's the thing that is my why when I make music. I love to be in the studio, but there's nothing like playing with my band live. So for me not to do that with that record, I think was the biggest like grief of that and had to move through that. And kind of exactly how I started writing Left Hand was like, I wanted to have the chance to be able to go back on the road. And every time you have a record, there's a big shot for that. So
yeah,
it's all very connected to me.
When it felt like you maybe wouldn't tour again for who knows how long, did you feel like making music at all? Were you in the mindset where you wanted to make a record?
No, I really wasn't. I mean, I think 2020, you know, when that record came out, when I didn't tour it, I was just very depressed. And then somebody in my family got very, very sick in 2021. And I just went back and forth between Nashville and Virginia to help them. And I did really think like, you know, what is the point? Like, you know, do I still want to do this? And it was crazy because through that sickness, I started really, truly processing and going to therapy for the first time and like processing trauma. And songs, of course, always are my way to express what I'm feeling. And it's always been my like my safe place. And so then the songs just started being like presenting themselves to me.
I'm talking to Becca Mankari on World Cafe. Let's go back to where the album started, because I know it was after a Christmas dinner with your family. Mm-hmm. You started writing the album.
Yeah.
And that dinner inspired the first song that you wrote. It's the next song we're going to hear you play live. Could you tell us what happened?
Yeah. So I had for years been with the same partner, and my parents had never allowed them or us into the home. And after going through the sickness, they said, you know, well, we want to invite you to come to our house. We don't want you to act like you're together, but we're going to allow you to come into our home.
Right.
And it was crazy because I'd spent so many years, still emotional to me kind of, because I'd spent so many years like punishing myself subconsciously. And then now through therapy consciously, like I would, the song Is Too Late is like talking about that story of like me being alone on Christmas or like on holidays where I wasn't allowed to come home. And I would, unfortunately, this is like something I'm not proud of, but like I would drink and I would like drive and like I would go out at night, like just like hoping to like maybe not make it back. And that's really heavy, I know, but it's something that I felt because I was just so alone out there for so long. And so I think with their acceptance, it was like this idea of like, it's like too late. Like you like already like hurt me too badly to like now want to come back into my life.
Yeah.
And it was like the last song, I think, for me to like say, it's time for me to move on the right way. But this is like something I need to say, because I think a lot of people, queer people especially, understand what it's like to not almost survive and to be so isolated on purpose by their communities around them. To get them to try to change. Like that was like my story. Like my family wanted me to be hurt so bad that I wouldn't come back.
Right.
And, it's painful, but it's like, that's why I needed to write that song to move on almost.
I think some people think,
oh, you know, when it comes to forgiveness, it's never too late. You can always fix it. People think of it sometimes in the context of absolving mm-hmm. the other person. But what does saying, like, no, it's too late mean in the context of forgiving someone?
I think it's like, it's too late to say in my context that that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I think I needed to say, you know, we almost died. Like, there's a line that we almost died. Like, and I say we even because it's inclusive. It feels like to me when I write music, it's for so much for the community and so much for the people around me that come to my shows and say, I had a parent that like went to their grave and never accepted me. Like, that is something that happens to us sometimes. But I think for me, it's just saying it's a bridge between the two records. Like, the greatest part, I hadn't processed any trauma. And then Left Hand, I processed so much trauma and I needed to almost bridge those things. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to be honest. I think it's okay to say, you know, I didn't almost make it. And almost it's like sounds an alarm to just say, you know, what you do actually affects the world and the people around you.
Yeah. This is It's Too Late, performed by Becca Mankari on World Cafe. From my guest today, Becca Mankari, that was a live performance of the song It's Too Late from their new album, Left Hand. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe. One of the collaborators that you worked with on this album, somebody you've worked with a whole bunch, including in your group Bermuda Triangle,
yeah.
Brittany Howard. And you were asked recently, who is the producer you'd most like to work with? And you said Brittany, which I thought was lovely. What is it about Brittany's creative mind that you admire so much?
Oh, my God. Okay, so for... I feel so lucky, first of all, because I do think she hasn't done this with very many artists. So she even said, she's like, these are my tricks, Beck. Don't tell everybody. But she's just like, the thing about Brittany is that she is so in her gut, too. That's how she is as an artist. She taught herself everything. but she's not afraid to do something that's like on the song, on the record, Don't Even Worry, that she co-wrote and co-produced with me. We did a lot of the stuff in her living room. Like we were just like, whatever was around, like a Topo Chico bottle is on the record, you know, or like a cardboard box that is like makes the sound so sick. Like, and we used all those things from the demos. And I think the thing I learned from her was that there is no like one way and there's no correct way. The thing about Britney is it's so pure. It's so from the gut. I don't think she can do the same thing twice. And that's like magic to me. And she's just one of the best that ever has been or will be, I think.
Well, now we have to hear some of it. Here's a Don't Even Worry. It's Becca Mankari with Britney Howard on World Cafe. I can handle it. Go and take your time. On World Cafe, that was some of the song Don't Even Worry from Becca Mankari's new album, Left Hand. That song was co-written by Britney Howard, who also sang on it. I'm Raina Duris. Becca Mankari is my guest today. The next song that we're going to hear you perform live is another one that you have a guest vocalist on the album. But before we get into who sings it with you, let's talk about the song itself. There's a lyric in Over and Over where you sing, line cook, janitor, that year I was invisible, back in the closet. And obviously, in the closet is a figure of speech, but that line comes from a real time in your life where you were really a janitor.
Yeah.
Could you tell us this story?
I really was a janitor. Yeah. So I actually, I went back into the closet when I was in my early 20s. I had come out and I had like this huge like love and breakup and like I was like houseless for a while and I lived in Arizona and I was just kind of out there on my own. And I think because I had felt like everything that my family had said kind of came true in a sense, quote unquote. Now in hindsight, I know that it's just being a kid and being in love. Like it's just like normal heartbreak. But I just kind of equated that to being gay. And like, so I went back into the closet just like to survive basically, you know, I just was out there on my own. And so, I had moved to India with my older sister.
Whoa.
Because she,
That took a big twist.
Yeah, no, big twist, always. I lived in India. I lived in Bangalore, India. And my older sister was we had called it a missionary, which is complicated in and of itself. She's not in the church anymore, actually. It was crazy. But I wanted to almost like, the reason why I became a janitor as I moved back to South Florida, West Palm Beach, Florida. And my old school actually needed a janitor, my old high school. And I did it because it's the only job I could get at the time. And also, and this is sad because it's just part of my story is that I felt like I had to pay a penance or something. Like I felt like I had to like be broken almost. Like I think I felt like I had to like do the hardest work to try and like command my body into not being queer. It's really sad. Like, it's real though. Like if I can really look back, I remember like, you know, picking up like 200 chairs and just like breaking my body. And like, I have so much respect for people that are in the service industry and so much respect for the people that like are invisible. Like I was invisible. Like something I'm so passionate about now is like treating people with respect and love. Because when I was in a janitor's outfit, nobody like, I would become invisible. Like I would just disappear.
So the story that you're telling in this song, how does that line up or connect with the pop sound that you were going for in this song?
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted in general to, I love pop music, so I just really wanted to give it a go and like, how would I write a song that would still feel like me and like still have my story in it, which is because my music is so based on like my own reality or my own life. And Liza Ann is a great artist that now lives in New York, but they wrote the song with me. And I knew that they were in this like really powerful queer awakening themselves too. And so I was just like, hey, like, do you want to write a song about like me, like being in the closet and then moving to Nashville and coming back out and like being like so like destructive and hot and cute and kissing girls at bars and just like and not wanting to like be afraid anymore. And I just wanted it to feel good when you listen to it. And I can feel when I'm playing it live now, like people are just like feeling themselves. And like, that's the feeling I think again about being these humans that like, we're like, we have this eternity in us. Like we have this unbelievable ability to change and transform. And like, that's how I keep like being excited about even making music, is like that I get to have different iterations of myself.
Okay, well, get ready to feel yourself right now. Becca Mankari performing Over and Over. Becca Mankari live for the World Cafe with Over and Over from their new album, Left Hand. I'm Rena Duris. Becca Mankari joins me today on the studio version of that song. Julian Baker performs vocals with you.
Yes, she does.
How did you connect with Julian?
I toured with Julian in 2018, right after Good Woman came out. And we had never met each other. We met each other in Germany on the road. And at the time, Julian has come through a lot of different like iterations of herself as well. And like, she was still pretty religious at the time, actually. And I told her, I think three shows in, I was like, I don't really mess with your music sometimes. Like, I just like, oh my God. I was just like, now in hindsight, I was like, oh my God, you were definitely drinking some wine then, Becca. But she loved it because she said, oh, like, you're real. Like, you're not pretending just because, you know, maybe that would offend me, or like everybody wants to like be around, like, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You're just honest. And she was just like, I trust you. And then we became like best friends.
Oh, that's so nice. I mean, I feel like Julian, I've talked to Julian a few times on the show. Julian has a very different, but kind of similar experience to your own. I mean, grew up in a very religious environment, wasn't able to be open with their sexuality. I'm guessing you guys have talked about that stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course.
For folks listening who might not be familiar with your entire backstory, Could you tell us just a little bit about where you grew up in rural Pennsylvania, what that was like?
Yeah, so I was born in Staten Island, and then my parents moved us to a town of 900 people. I tell this story that I feel like I remember somewhere somebody saying that my dad like pointed at a map and like, that's where he took us. But I think it was a little more like that was just like, they didn't have any money. I think they moved with like $100, like with no money. Like they were just broke. And people would bring us like, they started a house church. So I would come downstairs in this big blue house, I never forget it, in the middle of nowhere. And strangers would be just around my kitchen table learning about God. And like, you know, they'd bring us, the only way that we survived was like people would bring us their pantry, like food, you know, because we didn't have any money. But we just grew up very, very kind of isolated. And there was good parts about it too, like in that I grew up, I think, with the creativity around me. Like I was homeschooled a lot too. So writing was always a big one, you know, like music was always really encouraged. And for me, I started playing music at 3 and then being on stage by like, I don't know, like 7, 8. Like I was very, very young. I've been on stage. Again, like I said, being on stage is the most me that I can be because this just was my whole life.
Yeah. I'm talking to Becca Mankari on World Cafe. So much of what we've been talking about this album circles around forgiveness and family and identity. And the last song that we're going to hear you perform live for us today kind of feels like it ties a lot of that stuff together. It's called I Had a Dream. Mm. It begins with you addressing your mother. Could you talk about writing this song? Because it feels like it could be a very emotional kind of song to write.
Yeah, I did really have that dream about my mom saying, can I be free too? Like that, I'll never forget it. It felt so visceral. And like, I do believe in dreams. Like I think like sometimes like subconsciously we speak to each other or we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And I really see her and, you know, I think no matter how she perceives me, like I really feel connected to her and like, and hope and try to have hope because, you know, she just grew up, she's from Puerto Rico. Like she like really grew up tough. Like it was hard. Like I see her, I understand her, I forgive her and I love her. And so I think with this song, I wanted to say like, Is there a possibility where we make it? Is there a chance that it's not just a dream? Like, is there a way? And I think that for me, the song kind of goes back and forth too, where the chorus is like, you said you took for granted all the shared love that we had. And I think when you make a choice to almost like expose other people, it's really difficult. It's scary. And it's also like, very like you have to be very tender with it and understand like you might hurt them like and you might not get them to understand actually that these are love songs to them. But my hope is someday that this family will reconcile. And my belief is that it's okay if it doesn't. And like, how do we continue to grow as people with or without them?
This is Becca Mankari live for the World Cafe. I Had a Dream. We'll be right back. in a live performance recorded for the World Cafe. That was Becca Mankari playing a song from their new album, Left Hand. Becca Mankari has been my guest today. Becca, thank you so much for this conversation.
This was amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.